The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Well, thank you once again for joining us. I'm God Calling, a special guest this week. That is Father Don Calloway. You may know Father, his name at least, from his writings. He's written 15 books. One that was widely circulated here in the Diocese of Cleveland was The Consecration to St. Joseph. Father, welcome to God Calling.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, absolutely. Father, tell me about growing up. I know you were a convert to Catholicism. But tell me about growing up.
Well, I actually was a convict, too.
I read that, too. Maybe it was a Freudian slip.
I didn't grow up in a Catholic household, a Christian household of any kind, and wasn't baptized, and really lived a crazy youth with multiple fathers. And my third father was in the Navy, and we ended up in Japan, and I got into a lot of trouble, and I got kicked out of the country, actually. And then came back to the States, went to two rehabs, and dropped out of high school, and just crazy. But through all that craziness, my parents, actually, my mom and my stepdad, they became Catholic.
Oh.
And, yeah, and I didn't know what that was. I wanted nothing to do with it. But then, you know, after a few years, I had what I call my own divine 2x4 experience, where God hammered me with the truth, and I fell madly in love with Jesus Christ and with Our Lady and with the saints and the Eucharist and the sacraments and became Catholic. And then shortly after that, got my call and joined my religious community, the Marian Fathers. And that was 31 years ago now. And so I've been a Catholic for 31 years, and I've been a priest now for 20. So.
Wow.
God is good, brother.
Well, you know, we talk often about, you know, there's conversion for people, there's forgiveness for people, but is that the message in your conversion, that there is salvation for everyone?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're all sinners. We all make mistakes. We all do stupid things. And, you know, we're born into original sin. We've got all kind of issues. And there's mercy for all of us. We just have to humble ourselves and acknowledge that we're broken and that we need God. And he is so there. He, you know, it's the grace that he gives us to even acknowledge that. And he longs for our friendship and for our hearts. And so, yes, there is mercy for everyone. Absolutely.
Tell me about the inkling when you first had, you know, maybe God's calling me. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, when I was undergoing my conversion experience, I began to go to church every day, which, trust me, that was radical behavior for me. And I wasn't even Catholic yet. I was in the process of becoming Catholic. And I was just so in love with everything that I had discovered in Catholicism that I thought, well, you know what? Having a wife and a family would be wonderful. That's a great gift. But I just feel that I'm called to give of myself in a different way. And, you know, watching the priest celebrate Mass, watching him go into the confessional and the people in the line going in and having their sins forgiven. And I just thought, you know, I think God might be calling me to this. And he was. And, yeah, it just snowballed from there. I reached out to my religious community and ended up joining them. And, yeah, I had to spend 10 years in formation. It was a long formation, but I needed it. I needed to grow and mature and everything, and I'm eternally grateful for that.
When your community is the Congregation of Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. When you go knocking at the door, do they kind of go, I don't know, boy, this guy's got a past. How were you received?
Oh yeah, that's pretty much how what they did, because you know, I had to be honest with them, and I had to tell them, you know, my past, and you know, they were very kind, and they said, well, okay, well, you know, this is Christianity, this is what it's about, so praise God for your conversion. But they were very forthright. They, you know, didn't give me any false hopes. They said, look, we're willing to have you enter, but you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see how it progresses. And it's going to be a long formation. And you know, it was. I mean, 10 years, it's a long time. And there were difficult moments. There were times when I, you know, asked myself, what am I doing? You know, people I know are already getting married and moving on with their life. And here I am. It's going to take me, you know, all these years and everything. But the community was very supportive, and they helped me to, you know, get my education, get all the schooling I needed, the seminary and everything. And yeah, and that was 20 years ago now. So I've been a priest for 20 years now.
What are the steps in your formation as far as, is there apostolancy? How did you move up all the way to ordination?
Yeah, so the first year in our religious community is called postulancy. It's just that initial phase where you learn about, you know, the community's history and how to pray the breviary, how to serve mass, all these kind of things dealing with, you know, liturgical aspects and religious community. Then the second year is the novitiate year. Every religious community has a novitiate year. It's basically a year-long retreat where you learn about the vows that you're going to be professing, the spirituality of the particular institute, the charism, the apostolate, and all of that. And then after that, I had to get my whole entire education. So I had to go for my undergraduate degree, which I got at Franciscan University of Steubenville, which was wonderful. Then there was 4 years of seminary after that. And then I made my perpetual vows, was ordained a deacon, and then a priest. And so it was a process. You know, it takes a while.
Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times Franciscan University comes up in our conversations with people. It's I've been to Steubenville, but not to the university. It just sounds like a marvelous place.
It really is. It's an incredible place. It's such a faith-filled campus. Like, you know, a lot of college campuses, you go there, and it's just, it almost is like an oppressive feeling of what is being taught there, and just the students kind of can look depressed. Not here. I mean, it's so joyful, so exuberant with Catholicism that it's tangible. You walk on campus and you're just like, wow. I mean, these kids are like alive with joy and happiness. And they're coming up to me as a priest and they're like, Father, hey, good morning. Father, can you bless my rosary? Father, can you hear my confession? It's just, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's got to really be a blessing for you to see that in younger people, because a lot of younger people are not that way.
No, exactly. And, you know, like in the dorms, for example, I mean, they have the Blessed Sacrament in every dormitory, and you go through the halls of like the boys' dorm, and you know, there's pictures of Saint Maximian Kolbe and Saint Therese of Lisieux, and it's just like, wow, what have I walked into? It's like a saint-making machine. You know, it's just incredible.
Yeah, there are different posters in my dorm in college than the saints, as you might imagine. Father, will you stay right there? We're going to come back with more about your vocation and your many, many writings right after these messages on God Calling. Thanks for staying tuned with us. I'm Paul Orlowski, and we're joined today by Father Don Calloway, who is a member of the Congregation of Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary in Steubenville, Ohio. Father, you mentioned your order, your community. Tell me some of the history of it.
Yeah, so we were actually founded in Poland in 1670 by St. Stanislaus Pepczynski. So we've been around for a while. And we're not that big outside of Eastern Europe. We have houses around the world, but we only have about 500 men worldwide. So we're not one of the bigger communities like the Franciscans or Dominicans, but we have a very powerful ministry. Our primary focus is to promote devotion to Our Lady, and especially her Immaculate Conception, because our name is the Marians of the Immaculate Conception. And then we also pray for the souls in purgatory. Our founder was a mystic, and he really urged us to pray for the souls of purgatory every day. And we help out in parishes. So we run parishes. We have our own parishes. But wherever we live, we help out the local clergy with the masses, confessions, spiritual direction, just being available to assist them. So it's a great community. You know, we're not monks, but we're not diocesan priests. We're kind of in the middle. We live in community, have a lot of our prayers together. And great guys, good men, solid, orthodox guys that just want to love our Lord and save souls.
Mm-hmm. In reading some of your biographies and stuff like that, you're a lot of expertise in both Mary, obviously, but also the Divine Mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know if people are as familiar with the Divine Mercy or the Divine Mercy Chaplet as maybe they might want to be.
Yeah, and you know, it's a powerful prayer, you know, and we were entrusted, our religious community, with spreading this message during the pontificate of St. John Paul II, because, you know, our community is from the 17th century. St. Faustina was given her messages from heaven in the 1930s. So that came later, but because of our Polish origins and the pontificate of St. John Paul II, after World War II, he really, you know, entrusted this message, the spreading of it, to our community, because we had the means to do it. And so now, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where we have the National Shrine of the Divine Mercy, is kind of, you know, one of the main centers worldwide of spreading the Divine Mercy. Things like the chaplet, things like Divine Mercy Sunday, the image, you know, that's become famous now at the bottom with Jesus, I trust in you. These are powerful gifts that heaven has given to us, and we're honored as a community to have been entrusted to promote this message, and we seek to do that every day.
You're the vocations director, I understand. What is your message to someone who maybe, look in the mirror, like yourself, maybe lost, doesn't know, but maybe has a calling? What's your message to that person, that man?
Well, I would say, you know, I think most people would acknowledge right now that the world has gone bonkers. You know, we've got so much crazy stuff going on right now, and a lot of people are searching. A lot of men are, you know, starting to question, gosh, have I really been doing what the Lord wants me to do with my life? Am I just kind of playing video games and really going nowhere? Well, you know, take a look at that. Take that to prayer. Ask Our Lady. And if you felt that call, you know, in particular, to that God might be calling you to be a priest, reach out to me. Go to the website. We've mm-hmm. got several websites. The easiest one probably is just fathercalloway.com. And you can send me an email there. We can start a conversation. And yeah, I'm more than happy to help any man discern the possibility of priesthood.
I saw you wrote someplace that in talking about the world today, the world is at war with the church.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very true.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's so sad. There's hardly a day that goes by. You don't wake up and there's more drama and what happened over here. And my goodness, this happened in France and this happened here in this part of the world and here in the States. And oh my goodness. So we need our Lord big time. And, you know, he's still with us. He hasn't abandoned us, but the times are sure crazy and evil.
I don't know if it's your latest books. I think you're writing another one right now, but in the Consecration to St. Joseph, you know, it kind of struck me that he's probably the only very, very, very important person in our Catholic life who has kind of a non-speaking role in salvation history, because we don't hear a lot about him.
Yeah.
He doesn't say much, let me put it to you that way.
Right. No, you're right. He's kind of the hidden saint. But without him, you know, really and truly, our Lord and our Lady would not have been able to fulfill their mission.
Mm-hmm.
So he's that kind of generator back there, a good husband, a good dad, taking care of things, getting things done. He doesn't get a trophy. He doesn't get any acknowledgement, but he doesn't need it. He's such a good man, and he wants his son, you know, our Savior Jesus Christ, and his wife, our Lady, to shine. And yeah, what a good man he was and is.
One of the things we do at my parish, at least this time of year right now, and a lot of the time, is the Litany to St. Joseph. And until you actually go through the Litany, it might be easy to lose sight of all of the roles that he has. You know, the Light of Patriarchs, the Spouse of the Mother of God, Chaste Guardian of the Virgins, on and on it goes. Most Just, Chaste, Prudent, Courageous, Obedient, Faithful, on and on it goes. And you realize, yeah, that's a lot to live up to for the rest of us.
It is, absolutely. And, you know, when I first discovered that Litany of St. Joseph, I was in awe of those titles, too. And my particular favorite is the Terror of Demons.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
In today's world, it's, yep.
Yeah, because, you know, you look at a lot of images over the centuries of St. Joseph, and, you know, he looks kind of soft and old in the background, the shadows. And I never really thought of him as the Terror of Demons
mm-hmm.
until I really discovered who he really is, that he wasn't some super old guy and he wasn't soft. He was a carpenter and he worked with wood and stone and he was a tough guy. And, you know, he's a model for the Messiah. So we're talking about a man who was just incredible. And that title in particular, just, I like to invoke that title and say, St. Joseph, terror of demons, pray for me. And I don't know, I feel as powerful fatherhood in that prayer.
Mm-hmm. I think we have an image of that in the hallway here at the radio station. Oh, there it is. I'm looking at it here in the studio, as a matter of fact. There it is. So, it's interesting that you do mention that. Well, you've written the book, Consecration to St. Joseph, The Wonders of Our Spiritual Father. We're going to talk about that and the 33 steps that are very, very, very easy to get to, but yet very moving, right after we get back after these messages. On God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Father Don Calloway is joining us. He is the author of The Consecration to St. Joseph, The Wonders of Our Spiritual Father, a tool used by many parishes here in the past couple of years, mine a couple of years back, and an awful lot of parishes here in the Diocese of Cleveland. First of all, Father Calloway, how'd you get the idea?
Well, you know, probably about 6 years ago now, I just had so many people coming up to me saying, Father, my family life is a wreck, my marriage is a wreck, and, you know, we need help. And I, you know, I say masses for them and, you know, hear confessions. It's the greatest thing I can do. But I felt like I needed to give people homework, like something to take home to their environment and to do individually as a family. And that's when I really just felt inspired to bring St. Joseph into family life more. Because, you know, there's such a neglect of fatherhood today and misunderstanding about what a father is. And so I thought, well, you know, I think this would be a good thing. And the Holy Spirit was coming through strong on that. And I wanted to put a book together comparable and not in a competition sense, but something like St. Louis de Montfort did with mm-hmm. Marian consecration. And so I thought, well, let's do something like that. And that's why the 33-day program and having it be kind of comprehensive and really opening people up to who St. Joseph was and how he wants to help you in your particular situation.
Very easy to follow, because sometimes in prayer I can kind of get lost and I maybe even have to ask Father, hey, am I doing this right with this? You basically break it down to three things: daily preparation, reflections, then reading about the wonders of our spiritual father, and then, of course, prayers to St. Joseph. And can you explain exactly how that works and how people might begin?
It's a 33-day program, so you can start it any time that you like. You could start it today, tomorrow. It doesn't really matter. It's nice to have it end on something special, like a feast of St. Joseph or a feast of Our Lady, or maybe on your birthday or your wedding anniversary, something like that. But it's not, you know, a necessity, but it's a nice thing to kind of plan ahead maybe. But what you do is every day I unpack one of the titles from the Litany of St. Joseph, and I say what it means. I go a little deep into it, and I give stories. I'll talk about saints and their love for St. Joseph, what Pope said, apparitions St. Joseph appeared in, miracles associated with him, shrines dedicated to him around the world. I mean, you really, the things that you learn and that I learned putting the book together were just extraordinary. You know, some real treasures that you don't have to kind of go on Google now and do all the research yourself. I did it for you. You know, I spent 3 years gathering all this information and put it into that book in that kind of method. And every day you pray the Litany of St. Joseph, which, you know, just takes a couple minutes. And at the end of that 33 days, you consecrate yourself to him, entrusting your life to him. St. Joseph, bring me closer to Jesus and Mary. Help me to turn away from sin and become holy. And you really will know St. Joseph at the end of that program. I pretty much guarantee it.
And that's the consecration part of it, when you get to the end and you're just, okay,
right.
Here I am. I'm yours, I guess, is maybe a way to put it. What's been the reaction to the book? Because I know it's widely read.
Oh, extraordinary. I tell you, as of right now, it's in 22 languages, and we just got contacted by somebody in Latvia 2 days ago for a Latvian translation, and I think we've sold, oh my goodness, I think it's close to 4 million copies.
Wow.
In just the last 3.5 years. It's audiobook, it's you name it. It's everywhere, so praise God. It's extraordinary.
I think I sold 4 of my book, Father.
Oh, nice.
The stories about silliness out on the streets of Cleveland as a news reporter for many years, but it's a task that's very rewarding in a lot of ways. And I suspect you're writing about something far more serious and far more impactful to people's lives, but I'm sure you got a lot out of it too.
Oh, I certainly did. I have to say, for me, it was a book that I think, you know, I came to discover who the real Saint Joseph was, and not what I kind of had in my mind, just envisioned that he was. And it was a delight. I mean, when I discovered things that, you know, the wedding ring that he gave Our Lady still exists. It's in a
gigantic
reliquary in Perugia, Italy, in the cathedral. And the Holy House of Loreto, it's the family home of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in Nazareth, was transported in the 13th century by angels from Nazareth to Loreto, Italy, which is where it remains to this day. All those kind of stories, you know, the miraculous staircase that St. Joseph built for a group of nuns in Santa Fe, New Mexico, mm-hmm. which is still there. All these things, it's just fascinating. You know, that St. Joseph was at Fatima, in the Fatima apparitions. It's approved part of the Fatima message. Knock, Ireland, St. Joseph appeared, fully approved apparition of the church. These kind of things are just shocking. When you hear them for the first time, you think, really? And yeah, and I back it all up with all the church official documents.
You've written other books. I understand you're writing one right now.
Yeah, I'm writing 6 books at the moment.
Oh, boy.
Pray for me.
One almost killed me.
Yeah, I'm having some rough days at the moment because I'm getting confused about which book I'm writing for. But one of them I'm really excited about is I'm actually doing a graphic novel, which is basically a fancy way of saying an adult comic book, on St. Joseph. So it's going to be, you know, comic in the sense of what it looks like, but it's got depth to it. The presentation is amazing. And the illustrator, this gentleman named Sam Estrada, he's a Filipino-American I know, his ability to draw is off the charts. So he did all the drawing, thank God, because I can't even draw a stick figure. And I did all the writing for it, and it's going to be coming out probably in June. It's going to be absolutely amazing, the most unique thing I've ever done.
Mm-hmm. What a change of pace from the 33 steps.
Yeah, that's right.
What are some of the other books that you've written? What topics?
Yeah, so, you know, right now we've got this Eucharistic revival going on. So I'm working on 2 books on the Eucharist. One's going to be based on the writings of St. Peter Julian Imard. And actually, in the Cleveland area, there's a lot of people who are devoted to him because the Congregation of the Blessed Sacrament, I believe, has some houses there in that diocese. And then I'm going to be working on a book on the Sacred Heart of Jesus as well. And then 2 books on saints, the virtues of saints, another children's book, and hidden saints. Kind of the lesser known ones. And so it just keeps going. I keep getting ideas and stacking these books up. So
<laughs> <laughs> probably the piles and piles and piles of research books or online stuff that you have to do to get all these, all the facts.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And that's just, you know, I'm also the vocation director. I'm vicar provincial. I'm doing my daily priestly duty. So yeah, I got to remind myself to eat sometimes.
Well, if people want more information about your order, FatherCalloway.com is the place to go. Am I right?
That's right. Yep. Exactly.
Very good. Father Calloway, thanks very much. And if people haven't gone through this 33-step program of the consecration to St. Joseph, it is marvelous. We did it at our parish and many, many others, so I would personally endorse that. Father, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you now.
All right. Same to you. This is God Calling. Thanks for joining us this week and every week. We hope we will every week right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.